Hi, everyone. I'm Craig Orndorff. This is Seems Like Old Times, the show where we listen to the memories. Welcome, my friends. So good to be with you again as we get ready for another edition of the show that features some of the greatest music of all time. We have the big bands and the great singers, the wonderful performers from the golden era of popular music. Well, coming up today in the spotlight, we have Destination Songs, Part 2. Yeah, a few weeks back it was spring break, so we chose a few exotic locales that were song subjects. And we're going to do it again because there's plenty of musical places on the map. So more destinations are in our sight today. Plus, we'll have the countdown, of course, and today we're heading back to the final week of May in 1938. So that's what awaits us, and if you're ready, let's get to it.
Seems like old times, being here with you. Being here with you. Being here with you.
And we're off and running on today's Seems Like Old Times, and we begin on the countdown from this week in 1938. And we'll be using the survey from that weekend's broadcast of Your Hit Parade. Now, their rankings were based on the songs only, not by the performer of a certain song. So deciding which artist gets played on our countdown today will be me, because I have the microphone and I also have the records. Yes, it's a dictatorship, but I'm really a nice guy. All right, let's get to the countdown now. Starting off at number 10, I Let a Song Go Out of My Heart. Here's the Duke Ellington Orchestra. I Let a Song Go Out of My Heart. Duke Ellington and his famous orchestra, composed by the Duke. And it featured Johnny Hodges on alto sax, Harry Carney on baritone, Lawrence Brown trombone, Wallace Jones on the trumpet, and Barney Bigard on clarinet. It was at number 10 on Your Hit Parade this week in 1938, the only week it appeared on that survey. But it's become a standard. We know it now better than some of the other songs that you'll hear today on the countdown. Now, the tune was also given lyrics by Irving Mills, Henry Nemo, and John Redmond. And a popular vocal version was done by Martha Tilton with the Benny Goodman Band. Benny Goodman Orchestra with Martha Tilton, I Let a Song Go Out of My Heart, the arrangement done there by Edgar Sampson. The song was at number 10 on your hit parade this week, but the recording by Goodman and also the one by Duke Ellington are both credited as being number ones because they appeared at the top of other ratings that were around back in the day. This was before Billboard debuted its chart, which became the industry standard. It is the end of May 1938 on today's show, when our population was just under 130 million. Franklin Roosevelt was the president, John Garner the VP. And FDR's approval among Americans was solid, despite a downturn in the economy. Some were calling it Depression II. Popular sentiment for the president was about the same as when he won re-election in 36. But Americans were waning on some of his policies, and a growing number of Americans wanted the Congress to act independently of the president. The economic dip had people turning against his New Deal. His battle with the Supreme Court, including a court packing plan, didn't go over well. And just this week, Congress had passed a bill that provided a big tax cut, which the president chose not to veto, and that allowed the bill to become law without his signature. So as we were heading into the summer of 38, the president decided he was going to get involved in the midterms.
As the head of the Democratic Party, however, charged with the responsibility of carrying out the definitely liberal declaration of principles set forth in the 1936 Democratic platform, I feel that I have every right to speak in those few instances where there may be a clear-cut issue between candidates for a Democratic nomination involving these principles or involving a clear misuse of my own name. Progress may be blocked by outspoken reactionaries. But we also know that progress can be blocked by those who say yes to a progressive objective, but who always find some reason to oppose any special, specific proposal to gain that objective.
The Democrats had a big majority in Congress, but FDR didn't want that. He wanted a pro-Roosevelt Congress. And many of the Democrats were no longer New Dealers. And he was looking to purge the party of moderates and conservatives. And also, by cleaning house, he could dominate the 1940 convention. There was backlash against Roosevelt's intervention, and the Democrats would lose big in November. Republicans would win 81 seats in the House. And while Democrats kept the majority, there were so many unreliable votes for FDR, conservatives and Republicans could block his policies. And that's what was happening in politics here in May of 1938. And we get back to the countdown now at number 9. Here's a record by a group, a septet, that didn't exist. From the Disney motion picture Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, it's Hi-Ho.
We dig, 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 to dig, 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 is what we like to do.
It ain't no trick to get rich quick if you dig, dig, dig with a shovel or a pick.
In a mine,
in a mine,
in a mine,
in a mine,
where a million diamonds shine.
We dig, 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 from early morn till night.
We dig, 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 dig up everything in sight.
We dig up diamonds by the score.
1,000 will be sometimes more.
But we don't know what we dig them for.
We dig, 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 dig.
Song number 9 this week in 1938. Hi-Ho, the Dwarfs Chorus, as they were listed on the soundtrack, which really was one of the first and one of the biggest sellers of all time. And actually, the vocal group was a quintet. I'm sure you remember the character Dopey did not speak. And one member of the cast did the voice for two of the dwarfs. Pinto Colvig did both Grumpy and Sleepy. The other voices you heard, Roy Atwell as Doc, Otis Harlan Happy, Scotty Matraw Bashful, and Billy Gilbert was Sneezy. Well, since we're talking about the movies, let's head into the cinema to see what was playing this weekend in 1938. Well, first up, the cartoons, and from Disney, there's Mickey's Trailer. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Goofy go on a wild road trip. From Warner Brothers, a couple from Porky Pig. There's Porky's Hare Hunt, where Porky Pig chases Happy Rabbit. Happy Rabbit would evolve into Bugs Bunny. He was also in Engine Trouble. Porky goes out to find Injun Joe. And the debut of Elmer Fudd in The Isle of Pingo Pongo. It's a spoof on the Travelogue films. Alrighty, latest from the Little Rascals, Three Men in a Tub, and from the Stooges, Healthy, Wealthy, and Dumb.
The first prize of $50,000 goes to Mr. Curly Howard of 1122 Lilyflower Terrace, New York City.
Who did you say?
Curly Howard.
Oh, thanks, Toots. That's you, ain't it? Sightly. Oh, boy, I'm rich.
At last we can live like gentlemen.
Pie a la mode with beer chasers 3 times a day.
Let's go places and buy things. Come on.
Oh, wait for the money man now.
Well, Larry and Curly were in the moolah until the tax bill came. All right, for the main features, some comedy and Vivacious Lady with Jimmy Stewart and Ginger Rogers. And Hold That Kiss had Maureen O'Sullivan, Dennis O'Keefe, and Mickey Rooney. And leading the dramas, Betty Davis and Henry Fonda in Jezebel.
Would you like to see my new dress?
That's what I wanted to do all day.
Well, let me go then. There it is.
For the Olympus Ball?
Oh, isn't it lovely?
Julie, it's red.
It's gorgeously red.
You can't wear red to the Olympus Ball.
Why not?
You never saw an unmarried girl in anything but white.
Well, you're going to see one tomorrow night.
Lots of adventure picks. Kidnapped with Warner Baxter, Freddie Bartholomew, and Arlene Whelan. Her Jungle Love has Dorothy L'Amour and Ray Milland. And Jiggs the Chimp, he played Cheetah in the Tarzan movies. There's Test Pilot with Clark Gable, Myrna Loy, and Spencer Tracy. Gangs of New York had Charles Bickford and Ann Vorjak. And the blockbuster in Technicolor, The Adventures of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn, Olivia de Havilland, Basil Rathbone, Alan Hale, Ian Hunter, and Claude Rains.
And what do you propose to do?
I'll organize revolt. Exact a death for a death. And I'll never rest until every Saxon in the Shire can stand up, free men, and strike a blow for Richard in England.
Have you finished?
I'm only just beginning. From this night on, I use every means in my power to fight you.
All right, for musical picks, Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, Shirley Temple, Randolph Scott, Gloria Stewart, Jack Haley, Bill Robinson. Girl of the Golden West had Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald, also Buddy Epson and Walter Pidgeon. Coconut Grove featured Fred McMurray and Harriet Hilliard. College Swing starred Bob Hope along with George and Gracie and Martha Ray. There was Joy of Living, Irene Dunne and Douglas Fairbanks Jr. And it was Bing Crosby and Dr. Rhythm along with Mary Carlisle, Bee Lilly, and Andy Devine. And in the picture, Bing sings this week's song number 8 on the sentimental side.
If you wonder why I'm near you, even though I've been denied, I'm inclined to be a little on the sentimental side. I suppose I should forget you if I had an ounce of pride, but I guess I can't help being on the sentimental side. I should act gay, laugh it off and say farewell, say it just didn't wear well, but I'm not that way. I'm in hopes you'll think it over and perhaps be satisfied with a simple sort of person on the sentimental side. Should act gay, laugh it off and say farewell, say it just didn't wear well, but I'm not that way. I'm in hope you'll think it over and perhaps be satisfied with a simple sort of person on the sentimental side.
On the Sentimental Side, written by Jimmy Monaco and Johnny Burke for the motion picture, Dr. Rhythm featuring Bing Crosby, and that was Bing there with the John Scott Trotter Orchestra. And it was at number 7 this week on your hit parade in 1938. It would move up to number 4. We are indeed listening to the memories from late May 1938 on this Seems Like Old Times. Today on Seems Like Old Times, our musical theme is Destinations Part 2. Yeah, a few weeks back, we took advantage of spring break and headed out to some exotic locales. Well, we still have the passport out, so let's go traveling again. And we're going to spend a little time in our first destination because we found 3 songs with this city's name in the title. It's the capital of Russia, and we go there first with Benny Goodman on Mission to Moscow.
Thank you.
Kenny Ball and his jazz men from 1961, Midnight in Moscow. It was Kenny on the trumpet, Johnny Bennett played trombone, Dave Jones on clarinet, Patti Lightfoot banjo, Vic Pitts on the bass, Ron Weatherburn on piano, and Ron Bowden played the drums. And before that, from 1942, Benny Goodman's Mission to Moscow. Some incredible ensemble playing there, all those 16th notes, and they hit every one cleanly and in unison. On alto sax, it was Jaime Schertzer and Clint Nagley. Tenors were John Walton and Leonard Sims. Bob Pollan played the baritone. On the trumpet line, Jimmy Maxwell, Lawrence Stern, Tony Fazzo. Trombones, Charlie Castaldo and Lou McGarity. Dave Barber on guitar, Howard Davies drums. And on piano, the composer, Mel Powell. Well, next to visit the city that has the second most number of billionaires is Ray Conniff. And this is titled Ray Conniff in Moscow. In 1974, Ray Conniff went to Moscow. He performed a number of concerts, but he also recorded a studio album there. But he didn't use the Conniff singers, he used the Moscow Chamber Chorus. The LP mainly consisted of Russian melodies, except that one. A dance piece that he titled Ray Conniff in Moscow, and that was the name of the album as well. It's one of our destination songs today on Seems Like Old Times. You're listening to Seems Like Old Times. I'm your host, Craig Orndorff, and today we've gone back to the final weekend of May in 1938. And we're playing the biggest songs from that weekend according to the Your Hit Parade program. And we're up to number 7 now with the Jimmy Dorsey Orchestra. With vocals from Don Madison, this is How'd You Like to Love Me?
How'd you like to kiss me? How'd you like it? Could you kind of care? Could you learn to part your hair my way? How'd you like to love me? On the level, how'd you like to miss me? Like the devil, would you be so kind as to keep me on your mind all day? I told my doctor, my lawyer, to see what they think. The moment they saw you, were they tickled pink? So how'd you like to love me, and no other, how'd you like to drop in? Meet my mother, how'd you like your toothbrush hanging right alongside mine? How'd you like it? As for me, I'd like it fine.
A little bit of Dixieland feel there from Jimmy Dorsey and the orchestra on How'd You Like to Love Me? Another movie song there, that was from College Swing, written by Burton Lane and Frank Lesser. Bob Hope and Martha Ray sang it in the film. And for the Jimmy Dorsey group, it was Don Madison. He played trombone and was a vocalist with the Dorsey Brothers. And he continued to play when Jimmy took over the outfit, sang a little bit too. Just like he did right there on How'd You Like to Love Me? Song number 7 this week in 1938, that would move up to number 4. Well, let's turn on the radio here in 1938, a booming year for the medium. Gross sales for radio exceeded that of magazine billings that year. Well, what were we listening to? Well, some recent shows, Information Please, debuted on NBC on May 17th. Back in April, The Green Hornet went national over Mutual, and a new soap opera premiered on January 3rd on NBC, The Woman in White. That would finish in the top 5 of the daytime shows. Most popular soap operas were Mary Marlin, Vic and Sade, and The O'Neills. Meanwhile, later in the afternoon, the kids had Jack Armstrong, Little Orphan Annie, Dick Tracy, and Tom Mix. And it was also the first season of The Shadow, starring 22-year-old Orson Welles.
Now, listen to me, sister.
Yes?
Was there someone hiding here beside you in the plane? Someone hiding?
I was not hiding, Jordan, but you could not see me.
Who said that?
I am The Shadow.
Shadow? Well, where are you, anyway?
Jordan. Here in the shadows. But you cannot see me. Your plan to steal the diamonds has failed.
The devil it has.
Look. Look on the table.
The diamonds. They're gone.
I've taken them, Jordan, just as I took the parts from the motors in the plane. You cannot escape.
Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston and his alias, The Shadow. It would remain a fixture for Sunday afternoons for the next 14 years. Well, the primetime season was winding down, and among the most popular shows were Big Town, One Man's Family, Joe Penner, Hollywood Hotel with Dick Powell, Amos and Andy, Fred Allen, Rudy Valley, Major Bowes, Eddie Cantor, Bing Crosby, Al Jolson, Lux Radio Theater, Burns and Allen number 3, Jack Benny number 2, and number 1, The Chase and Sanborn Hour, featuring Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, you guys walked out on me. I don't care. Oh, hello, Barbara.
Hello, Charlie, dear. Oh. You sing beautifully. Don't let me stop. You sing some more.
All right, I will. Bergen, were you out again last night?
No. Charlie or Edgar breaking character there. Along with Barbara Stanwyck on the Chase and Sanborn Hour, by far the number one show this past season. And the program we listened to Saturday night at 10 o'clock on CBS was your hit parade. And song number 6 on that week's show was Cathedral in the Pines. Here's the Shep Fields Orchestra.
Came down the aisle in that little old cathedral in the pines. When a baby filled their nest, he was taken to be blessed in that little old cathedral in the pines. He grew up and joined the choir where the organ played each day. And he found his heart's desire in a girl who came to pray. Once again the wedding bells will softly peal. And while you and I before the altar kneel, I will hold your hand in mine as they did in Auld Lang Syne. In that little old cathedral in the pines.
Shep Fields and his rippling rhythm orchestra, Cathedral in the Pines, with vocals by Jerry Stewart. He replaced Bob Gaudet, who sang on many of the band's hits. And Cathedral in the Pines was a great debut for Stewart. That was at number 6 on your hit parade this week in 1938. It was at number 2 on the Billboard radio chart this week. That would be atop the rankings for 3 weeks, the sixth number one for Shep Fields. Well, time to go shopping this week in 1938. Let's pick up a tabletop radio. $10 was the price tag. Looking for a living room set, $94. A Frigidaire refrigerator, $120. Summertime was here, ladies. You may need cotton dresses. They're in the $1 to $3 range. And hats were 99 cents. Men's work pants, 99 cents. And men's suits, $12.75. Off to the market now, where a quart of milk was 11 cents. If you had it delivered, add a penny. Two loaves of bread were 23 cents this weekend. Butter, 3 pounds for a dollar. Eggs, about 21 cents. Bacon, 29 cents a pound. Ground beef, a special, 3 pounds for 53 cents. Virginia baked ham was 49 cents a pound. And summer sausage, some of you may call it servelat, 33 cents a pound. All right, produce. Watermelon from Florida, the big 24-pounders were just 49 cents. Cherries were 19 cents a pound, peaches 15 cents a carton, strawberries were 19 cents a quart, and Bisquick to make shortcake, that was 29 cents for a package. Lettuce, two heads for 15 cents. A carton of tomatoes, that's about 6 or 7, 19 cents for that. Cucumbers, two for 15 cents. Oh, look at here, coconut bonbons, 29 cents a pound. Well, you need to have a little snack here and there. And we need some coffee. A 2-pound can of Maxwell House was 48 cents.
One thing I can't seem to do is make coffee that John likes. And yet I've tried brand after brand.
Well, you know, Helen, most men are terribly particular when it comes to coffee. I had the same trouble as you until I hit on Maxwell House.
Friends, Maxwell House does make a marvelous cup of coffee. So if you've had trouble pleasing your husband with the coffee you serve, why don't you try Maxwell House? It's the one coffee most men like. They like its rich, mellow flavor. They like its full-bodied goodness. They like that feeling it brings of deep-down satisfaction. So choose Maxwell House tomorrow. See if you both don't get more real pleasure from this coffee that's truly good to the last drop.
That was Ted Pearson pitching Maxwell House on the radio program Good News of 1938. Well, let's give you a bonus record from this weekend in 38, one that had not hit the charts yet but had just been released. And it would be the hit of the summer. With Ella Fitzgerald, here's the Chick Webb Orchestra.
A tisket, a tasket, a brown and yellow basket. I send a letter to my mommy on the way. I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it. A little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue, but not a single thing to do. She went peck, peck, pecking all around. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die. A tisket, a tasket, I lost my yellow basket. And if that girlie don't return it, don't know what I'll do. Oh dear, I wonder where my basket can be.
So do we, so do we, so do we, so do we, so do we.
Oh gee, I wish that little girl I could see.
So do we, so do we, so do we, so do we, so do we.
So careless with that basket of mine. That itty bitty basket was the joy of mine. A tisket, a tasket, I lost my yellow basket. Won't someone help me find my basket and make me happy again, again?
Was it green?
No, 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 no.
Was it red?
No, 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 no.
Was it blue?
No, 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 no. Just a little yellow basket. A little yellow basket.
Ella Fitzgerald and the song that would make her a star, A Tisket a Tasket, with the Chick Webb Orchestra. And as I said, that would be the smash of the summer, a six-week number one record. That was brand new this weekend 88 years ago. And remembered today on Seems Like Old Times. We're back on Seems Like Old Times, and in the showcase today, we have more destination songs. And we head to North Africa now with Dizzy Gillespie, Night in Tunisia. Dizzy Gillespie first called that composition Interlude. On his recording of the piece as part of the Boyd Rayburn Orchestra, Night in Tunisia was the subtitle. But the track you just heard was Dizzy's Orchestra from February of 1946, with Night in Tunisia the main title and Interlude the subtitle. Of course, it was Dizzy on the trumpet, Don Byas tenor sax, Milt Jackson vibes, Al Haig piano, Bill Durango guitar, Ray Brown bass, and J.C. Hurd played the drums. Well, that's going to do it for hour one of today's show. We'll take a break and then come back with more destinations and also more of the hits from this week in 1938 on Seems Like Old Times. Yeah.